The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
Welcome to this free episode of Hollinger and Duncan. John and Nate are going to finish off their organizational rankings, talking about the worst run organizations in the NBA. Obviously, that's going to be a lot of fun. But as you know, if you've been listening, all Hollinger and Duncan episodes are a lot of fun. If you want to subscribe to get access to every single one, you can subscribe to Dunked On Prime at dunkedon.supportingcast.fm. We've got a sale going right now in conjunction with Seth Partnow joining. Seth's doing a lot of cool stuff for us with his advanced stats, publishing a couple, maybe a few times a week with some lessons that he's learning from those advanced stats. It's excellent. If you want to subscribe, dunkedon.supportingcast.fm.
All right, I know everyone has been waiting with rapt attention for this. It is tier three. I guess we're breaking the tiers up a little bit more. Day three of the Hollinger and Duncan organization rankings. And then at the end of this, we're going to do our hardest and easiest to rank, most over and underrated, biggest fallers, biggest risers. Going to be a lot of those. And where we think these organizations might be going in the future, if any of them have potential to rise or fall next time, to see who we actually said for that last year, because there are a lot of fallers. But let's begin here, John. Who is the next highest team we've yet to discuss?
All right. I have sort of a mini tier here, I guess. So my next team was Houston Rockets. You seem puzzled.
I was trying to plug my computer in, which I realized wasn't plugged in yet at my temporary workstation here. But yeah, the Rockets are interesting because they're on pace to have the worst record in the NBA for the third consecutive season.
Yes. Obviously, that's not good. I do think they're probably going to have to make a coaching change at some point. I think they generally run a very loose ship there, which I worry about. At the same time, I think relative to these other 10 teams here, I think the Rockets understand value better than most of them, and have done some good things to fill in the talent pipeline. Fertitta is a liability. I don't think he's going to spend money. I think he may have really cost them a championship at the end of the Harden era. So that's... Well,
Fertitta has, I don't know if I want to say surprised me. Like, I think he's actually been better. Like, you thought he was going to screw things up when it came time to trade Harden. Maybe he screwed things up with Daryl. You know, that's not great. Yeah. But, you know, it seems like Rafael Stone knows what he's doing, right? He was kind of seemed like, oh man, is Fertitta just hiring this flunky who's just going to do what he says? And no, Stone definitely seems to have a pretty good grasp. Like, they haven't, I mean, I guess what you would say is, since Daryl left, there aren't that many moves they've done that I would say I really disagreed with at the time.
Yes. They've been able to find Tate, Martin, Garrison Matthews, like kind of these like useful kind of back end of roster guys cheaply. We'll see if maybe Bruno Fernando is another one. It's hard because they're a bad team and they're getting their butts kicked. So like somebody who's able to play 20 minutes for that team, what does that really mean? The Porter experiment is interesting. I still don't totally know how I feel about it. I thought they signed a very creative extension with them that kind of limits their downside on that. And I think a lot of other teams would have just walked into this very long commitment and maybe hated themselves later. So I thought that was good. Jalen Green, I mean, we'll see. Jabari Smith, we'll see. Certainly talented players. Certainly players that other people in the same position would have potentially made that pick. Trading in to get Şengün, I thought was interesting. So the biggest thing is, like, we just haven't really seen them play their cards yet. I think we're going to see that next year. They have all the cap room, plus they owe the pick from the Chris Paul trade. So, like, this is kind of the last year where they can just kind of screw around and be awful.
Well, I do think the overall vision to screw around and be awful was the correct one. And we have been critical and will be critical coming up here of some teams that have just been stuck in the middle forever. And the way they approach the Harden trade to use Philly as leverage, but eventually get the Nets' whole draft going forward, like, that looks pretty good.
Yep.
They dodged a huge bullet not having Ben Simmons, who, who knows, maybe Ben Simmons would have just not been any good and they could have tanked anyway, but you still don't, there's no reason to have that as part of the value in a trade when you could get all this stuff from Brooklyn. You know, I think they did kind of mess up the Allen and LeVert aspects of that trade, but Allen needed a new contract. He hadn't emerged as a star yet. They did end up getting another shitty first out of that. They got Oladipo, and then they thought they were going to get some huge haul for him, which they didn't really. And PJ Tucker, they didn't really get much for him either. Maybe they could have included him in that Nets trade and gotten more. But I think the overall concept was good. I guess it really just comes down to, at this point, it's kind of been, other than the overall organizational vision, I mean, they still try to use analytics, although I think they've lost some people out of their front office. You'd probably have a better understanding of that than me, you know, since the Daryl days, many of whom have gone on to become big guys in other organizations.
Yeah, I mean, it was, because it was working under Daryl was Rafael, Monty, Sachin, right? Who Sachin went to Minnesota and
Rosas, for that matter.
And Gerson Rosas. Yeah.
Now all those guys are gone, and they still have some other guys who learned under Daryl as well. But what's the role of Patrick Fertitta? I mean, that hasn't showed up in a negative way yet. You do have to ding him for Tillman's unwillingness to spend back when they were good. And again, if these guys took over a good team, you would have that problem again. So there's a reason they're not in the top half of the league. But I think generally I agree with most of the moves this team has made. And here's actually what I wanted to ask you about. And most people, I'm not sure I would agree, but I'm higher on Jalen Green than most, would say they should have taken Evan Mobley over Jalen Green. Evan Mobley certainly has been much better than Jalen Green so far, but they couldn't even get Evan Mobley in for a workout. There were reports that everyone thought that they were just like wasting Evan Mobley's time basically, and they were never going to take him at two, so they couldn't get him in. And I think most people would say Mobley has been better than Green so far. Like, what do you make of that whole thing where they just couldn't even get the guy in for a workout?
It's interesting, although, I mean, draft workouts are so overrated. If you couldn't get medical information on him, I mean, that would be probably a greater concern.
I think they wouldn't give him the medicals as well. So that's my recollection. I hope someone can correct me if I'm wrong on that. So that's what I remember.
And that is troubling, and that's always a high stakes game. But I also think part of that stemmed from the fact that there wasn't a belief that they were actually going to take him at number two. So,
but a good organization could have.
The two things went hand in hand. So, you know, you could say that if Houston had tipped their hand a little earlier that he was their guy, then they could have taken care of some of this stuff. Because most guys at the end of the day do want to go higher. And it's not like he was angling for LA or something. I mean, Cleveland had the next pick. No disrespect to Cleveland, but like, Evan Mobley has no connection to Cleveland and it's not a glamour market. Because of that, yeah, I mean, I think if they had wanted Mobley, they probably would have been able to get the information and make that pick more comfortably.
Yeah, so
we'll see what Green becomes. I mean, obviously he has this dynamism. did I even say that right?
Dynamism. Yeah, I think that's a word. Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah,
I think he's pretty dynamic. His shooting percentage is about my percentage of saying that word right. So there's still like incredible upside there. We'll see. You know, the top four players in this draft plus Wagner. Like, we'll see how that works out with those five guys down the road. I think it's still a really interesting race.
Yeah, I think this is a team, we'll talk about this later maybe, but you know, it's not the most impressive resume, but I think they have done what's needed to be done. I mean, I think they trying to compete these last few years, like, why bother? They've gotten high picks. Jury's out on them. You know, I personally was not a Jabari fan, but everyone else would have taken him there. So it's hard for me to kill them too badly. And there are certainly many guys that I have liked that didn't work out, or guys that I didn't like who did work out. So I can't ding them too much for that one, at least as of now. So yeah, I mean, this is, I've got them number 20. So it's kind of at the bottom of this group of teams that we've been discussing, like Dallas, Cleveland, New York. The next team I wanted to talk about is San Antonio.
Yes.
And obviously, there are many who would say this is too low for them. They've been on just like a slow, gentle decline, I would say, since about 2016, since about, frankly, when Brian Wright took over.
And when Kawhi left.
Yeah, that was a problem for them.
Yeah.
And not being able to retain him and that whole thing. Now, it certainly has become clear after that Kawhi Leonard probably would have left many an organization. I mean, he left the team that he won the championship with. So it's hard to kill them too badly for that. I mean, I think there still is a little bit the old schoolness of like the Popovich approach, how well that works. Like, they still have developed players, right, to get guys like DeJounte Murray, Keldon Johnson with the number 29 pick, Derek White. They definitely do develop players well. Like, that's a feather in their cap. I wanted to maybe raise them because they finally picked a direction. I mean, that was one of the big reasons that was holding them back to me, was just
just wasting a couple of years trying to win with LaMarcus Aldridge was just ridiculous. And then guaranteeing his contract for the last year when they didn't have to. That was just weird and really slowed down this whole rebuild. And now they're finally
and what they prioritized in the Kawhi trade was not good.
Exactly. Now they finally really embraced it, and I mean, they suck right now, man. Like, they are bad.
Oh my god.
But this is their pathway to becoming good, right? They're going to have $70 million in room next year. They have three first-round picks who are playing right now. And, like, I'm not a huge Branham guy, but, like, Sohan and Blake Wesley, like, I think they have a chance to be, you know, to be good players. Keldon Johnson, they did a good job developing him. Devin Vassell, they did a really nice extension with Keldon Johnson, I think, that's going to be good value for them. So they have a direction right now, and they can, you know, hopefully turn this around relatively quickly now. It's just gonna take a minute or two.
The Primo thing?
Yeah, I mean, first, picking him was a reach to begin with. And then obviously the way this all turned out, but like, it's not like he was lighting the world on fire before that either.
Yeah. And particularly the fact that there clearly had been reports about this type of behavior, and they picked up his rookie option anyway. Now, I do laud them, as I've talked about over the last few weeks, for at least settling this lawsuit very quickly and now making this a non-issue, but obviously it's a big problem to have that, and that hurts both on the floor and off the floor. And you know, I didn't care for some of the statements by RC and Pop about, like, we're a great organization, trust us, you know, we've earned the benefit of the doubt, like all this shit. So now, if we're talking, I mean, we're, because kind of what these organization rankings are trying to do here is just projecting what they would do going forward. And I think of all these teams, particularly because they did pick a direction now, you know, maybe they should be a little bit higher. You know, it's kind of been... So what do you think their organizational strengths and weaknesses are, if we're going to catalog it? I mean, we've got this list of things, you know, willingness to spend. I think they're okay that. Like, they have paid like a little tax, and they're really good. So with the market, that's fine. I'm sure if they had higher revenue, they'd spend even more.
So a player, I would say strengths, player development and stability are the two big ones by far. You just know, like, the ownership stays out of the way. You know, things aren't going to go to crazy town, which is important. I mean, we're going to see that, I think, in some of our discussions that are coming up here. And then I think they've kind of been slow to modernize a little bit. Like they, I think they still are kind of in love with playing big and not really maximizing the 3-point line. Like they do some cool stuff. Like they get a lot of movement and they get good shots. And like you look at their offensive results and you're like, okay, that wasn't given the shot chart. That wasn't as bad as I thought. But there, you still feel like there's money being left on the table tactically.
Yeah, I think like I definitely was low on them for trades, which they just like didn't do, and vision. Yeah. And I think they've addressed, you know, they made more trades now. The DeRozan trade was a good one. The Murray trade was a good one. They've picked a direction. I think they've been pretty terrible in free agency. So, and haven't even really found like good guys on the margins either in free agency. You remember when they signed Damari Carroll to like basically the mid-level and cut him before that year's trade deadline?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, there are just some weird things, but I think these guys should be higher as we go through it now. I mean, they're pretty good in most of these areas, like the owner, they've been good in the draft mostly. I mean, they do things a little bit differently, but I think they probably deserve to be at the top of this group. Like, I think I would have to move them above, like, you know,
would you
certainly like the Knicks or Cleveland.
You had, we had Portland in there too. Or you might
I had Portland higher. Yeah, I did have Portland higher. So yeah, I mean, I think I would put the San Antonio kind of in like this 14 to 16 range.
Wow, that high. Okay.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, so I think they should be higher than the Knicks. I think they probably should be higher than Cleveland still, given the track record. I guess just what happens when Pop leaves, that's a concern. But I guess we're kind of ranking them as of now. So yeah, I think I would have, and I think I'll move Dallas below them too. So I think I'll have them at 16.
Wow. Okay. Okay.
I mean, are there any of these teams that we've talked about already that you disagree? Like we talked about the Hawks already. Like the Spurs should be ahead of the Hawks for sure, right?
Huh.
Especially because they have a long track record too. Like they still
do have a long track record. There's been a glaring lack of inspiration, and I mean they made a huge bad decision that set them back years. Right? Like we can't just gloss over that.
Yeah. Although that is that's like that hurts, but also they just get the little things right. Like you believe that whatever a player can be, he will be maximized going to San Antonio. Maybe they don't always pick the right guy, but I mean, is there anyone that they've got who like they gave up on and then blossomed elsewhere? Like I can't think of anyone like that really. Maybe Bertans. The only one?
Beno Udrih. But the fact that we have to go back that far kind of proves your point.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess we're actually going to post our final rankings here on Dunked On Prime for subscribers. So you get a chance to see where we actually had all this shake out. So I did these rankings, I think 3 weeks ago, and I had the Chicago Bulls at like the very bottom of this tier in the 14 to 22 group.
Mm-hmm.
Is it too late to move them down?
So I had them a couple spots lower.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna have to drop them down here as well. I kind of New Orleans is also playing so well. Maybe I need to be moving them up. I'll be thinking about that. But yeah, I guess we should talk about Chicago though. I have them in now this 22 to 26 range.
I had the 25th.
Yeah, so I don't think we have a huge disagreement on them. But I mean, I guess the question is, what do they do well at this point?
Find back end of the roster energy guys. I mean, yeah, like, they've done pretty decently in free agency. When you look at Caruso, Dragic, Drummond, they got Javonte Green in a trade, and then I think Wisely did not cut him and brought him back. Dosunmu looks like a good pick.
Yeah.
So there are some positive things. You know, the Lonzo thing could have turned out better.
Yeah, I guess the question of what they knew about him health-wise or what they should have known, because if he didn't have this health issue, he would have been an amazing signing. And I think their free agency last year, even the DeRozan trade, for the production DeRozan has given them, that value and even giving up that pick and the value has been good. It's just the Vucevic trade was just so bad. Like if they just hadn't made that trade, where would they be? They actually, I mean, I don't know if they'd be a championship contender, but
you'd be like, oh, okay,
yeah, good about these guys,
right? If especially if they had taken Wagner with that pick,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but just the process of that was terrible, of just feeling like, hey, we need to make a move now with this team that in 2021, yeah. Like, oh man, we gotta make it into the playoffs. I mean, Zach LaVine still had another year under contract. It wasn't like it was his last year under contract. And then to say, oh, well, the guy we're gonna target in this trade is Nikola Vucevic, and to think that he was gonna be the guy who is gonna push them to a new level, and to give up that much for him, it just was like every aspect of the evaluation and the decision to even try to make a trade like that was awful.
Yeah. Letting Lauri Markkanen go for a protected first looked okay at the time.
I was in favor of that at the time.
They looked pretty good at the time.
I thought they made a good deal. Yeah. I would have probably, I wish they would have just gotten Larry Nance instead of the protected first. I think he would have helped them a lot, but they already had Vucevic, right? Like,
yeah.
Just to have someone like him, and again, just not, like, if they just had Franz Wagner on this team now, okay, maybe if they don't trade for Vuce, they end up getting even higher in that draft or something. Like, although, like, I don't think Vuce really helped them that much in 21, and Zach LaVine got COVID, and they didn't even make the play-in in the end. So, you know, I think they do. They find guys pretty well. I think generally their scouting has been pretty good. I would give them that as a strength. Would you agree on that?
I'd give them like a B+. I mean,
yeah.
They also signed Tony Bradley and Marko Simonovic, so let's not get too carried away.
I thought Bradley could be good. It's like, it was like a totally fine backup center. Like,
they gave him a player option, Nate.
All right, well, they had to outbid everyone else. Okay, here, this is what I'm saying, John. Like, Bradley had produced reasonably well. Like, he could stand under the basket and block some shots, mm-hmm. and finish and get some offensive rebounds. And we always say that teams spend too much money on backup center.
Okay.
So, fair. Like, let's give it a shot for a guy at the minimum who showed some promise. And, all right, they pivoted away from it. It's not like he, like, killed them
okay.
last year. Like, I think
gave it a shot. What about using the biannual on Tristan Thompson?
Yeah, I would say that sucked. Yeah, we were not huge fans of that. Definitely. Well, it didn't hurt them though, because they weren't willing to spend into the tax this year. So they just it's not like not having the biannual this year hurt them. They only used like $3 million of their mid level this year anyway on Drummond. But that was like a fine signing. Like they've So yeah, I guess it's just. They've had some hits, they've had some misses, but when you throw in ownership, I mean, can you imagine how cheap the Reinsdorfs would be?
It's embarrassing. It is fucking embarrassing that they will not spend into the tax in that market. Like, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, and they don't have like a robust organization or something either that they're spending on.
No. And like, you know, Lonzo Ball is the latest Chicago Bulls medical mystery too, right? Like, that's been a pattern with this team going back years.
They still have the same team physician who told Luol Deng in 2009 that he needed to challenge himself physically with a stress fracture in his shin.
Yes. Like,
it's still the same guy 13 years later. So,
that's bad.
Yeah, I mean, I wrote, back when I used to be a Bulls fan, I wrote this scathing post about all their medical screw-ups in, like, 2012. And, they've kind of changed the training staff. They've made some changes, but it's still, it's not too impressive. So, yeah, ultimately, it just seems like a team that doesn't really have ambition. And they don't clear out, like, at least they finally moved on from Garpax, and this group is better than that. And, Mark Eversley seems to have, like, a good rapport with free agents. Like, he was part of the reason DeRozan came there. But they're not awful, but it's just hard to really put them above where I had them 22, you have them at 25. So it's and now they're just kind of stuck again.
How are they going to dig themselves out of this? Yeah. I mean, I do think there is an avenue where they play out this season, because they might as well, since they owe the pick anyway, and then shift and then throw it into reverse after this year. Trade DeRozan and LaVine this summer. Because even the pick they owe to San Antonio from the DeRozan trade is top 10 protected in 25. Like, they'll be able to, if they want to keep it, they'll be able to keep it.
Yeah. But I mean, it just ultimately what it comes down to is a team that's experienced this level of success, a very middling level of success, to be minus 3 first round picks over a 5-year period from 21 to 25. And that's just not acceptable. Like, that, yeah. We said it at the time that you just, like, you like to say going all in on average. This wasn't just signing contracts going all in on average. This was like giving up draft picks to get to average.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, it is that time again. Wedding season. Indochino's custom suits will have you walking into a wedding looking like $1 million, feeling like $1 million, because their suits are custom made to fit you perfectly. You can get a tailored fit from the comfort of your home. You can set up your measurement profile on Indochino's website, choose customizations without even leaving the house. Indochino was the official outfitter of my wedding. I got a tux from them. All my groomsmen got custom fitted sport jackets, and I'd like to think we all look great. Order your custom suit now. Be ready for wedding season, whether it's at home or in person at a showroom near you, which I actually recommend. That's what I did. An Indochino style guide can walk you through all of the amazing customizations that they have. The lapels, the lining, single-breasted, double-breasted. You can feel the fabrics in person. That's definitely the best way to do it, in my opinion. But you can also do it from home as well. Look your best this wedding season at the table or on the dance floor when you wear Indochino. Go to Indochino.com today and use the code PER. Easy to remember PER because that's the metric that John invented. Use the code PER to get 10% off any purchase of $399 or more. That's Indochino.com, I-N-D-O-C-H-I-N-O, Indochino.com. And don't forget that PER code to let them know you came from us. As a sports fan, you know that when you get into the last seconds of the game, you've got an amazing chance to win, to make all your hard work pay off. All you have to do is convert at the very end, and your favorite player misses the last shot, swings and misses at that high fastball just out of the zone. So if it's that bad in sports, imagine how bad it is if your business's commerce platform keeps whiffing on golden opportunities. You're putting in all this work only to have it squandered because you can't actually convert, because your commerce platform is not keeping up. Instead, get the MVP you deserve. Get Shopify. They are revolutionizing millions of businesses worldwide. If you're a garage entrepreneur, IPO ready, Shopify is the only tool you need to start, run, and grow your business without the struggle. Shopify puts you in control of every sales channel. If you're selling signed sneakers from Shopify's in-person POS system or offering official outfielders outfits on Shopify's all-in-one commerce platform, you are covered. And once you've reached your audience, Shopify is the internet's best converting checkout to help you turn them from browsers to buyers. It's no wonder that Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. This is possibility powered by Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/PER, all lowercase, easy to remember because John invented it. That's shopify.com/PER to take your business to the next level today. Shopify.com/PER, all lowercase. Don't forget that /PR URL to let them know you came from us.
Who else is in this group here?
So, all right, can we talk about Minnesota? Because I didn't know what the hell to do with them. On the one hand, you've got Tim Connelly, whose track record from Denver I think was really good. Like, if we were just evaluating Tim Connelly on Denver, right, we'd be like top 10, yes. And then we have some other things here that have happened that are pretty good, right? Like, I like the Anderson contract. We'll see, you know, they made a good draft pick with Walker Kessler. For a minute. And on the other hand, I mean, the Gobert trade is, I mean, that's a massive decision. And well, it was,
I got to question them hiring Billy King as a special assistant just to do the negotiations with Danny Ainge. Not sure why they decided to do that.
It's just, all right, that's one of your best lines right there. That was good.
Yeah, that Portuguese man of war poison. It's really seeping into the brain. This is, first of all, this team has maybe the worst track record of anyone outside of Sacramento over the last X number of years.
Oh yeah, Glenn Taylor, we got it. Yes, because we got Glenn Taylor involved. Obviously,
he's still involved.
He still is the owner because Lohr and Rodriguez are buying this team on this weird installment plan, which makes you wonder exactly how much money they have, right?
That they called it layaway at Kids R Us when I was. When I was a kid,
those of you Christmas shopping right now who are a little older, remember, you know, you do the that they'd have the little things where you could like put away money at the store during the course of the year to, you know, spend money in Christmas presents in December. Anyway, yeah. I'm dating myself with this reference, but
it's OK. Glenn Taylor would get it, though. He's pretty old.
Oh my goodness. Yeah,
So I mean, I'm not like whether it's Taylor, Mark Lore, or Alex Rodriguez, who there are rumors now that he like can't afford to even like make his payments. I don't have. And then the idea that probably the Gobert trade was driven by Mark Lore and Rodriguez. Yeah, that's no good.
Yeah, and 24, they are definitely a tax team. You know what I mean? When you play, when you pay Edwards the max and put it with next to Towns and Gobert, you are definitely a tax team. And how are you dealing with that? It's not like you have draft picks to trade to get yourself out.
No, that's true. I mean, it's hard for me to imagine the way it's gone that for the 24-25 season that Gobert, Towns, and Edwards are all on this team with them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, good things. Like, you know, I definitely am a believer in Sachin. I mean, also, you know, they found some guys on the margins. You're Naz Reid, Jaden McDaniels is a good pick. The Jordan McLaughlin. They found some guys, Jalen Noel on the bench that have been pretty decent. Like there are some of their moves that seem to have an analytics bent, like the signing of Kyle Anderson or Gobert for that matter. But particularly to then say Carl Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards were like surprised by the Gobert trade, that they didn't even run it by those guys beforehand. I mean, I guess Carl Anthony Towns, we can also actually question the decision to give Carl Anthony Towns the Supermax 3+1 that doesn't even kick in until the 24-25 season when he's going to be what, like 29, 30?
Yeah, that's an interesting, although, I mean, if you, what would you have done? Like, the ballsy move would have been to do the Gobert trade and then trade Towns, right?
I do obviously have concerns about Towns and his ability to defend, and his playoff big game performances haven't been great. I mean, I think I would have just offered Carl Anthony Towns an extension that wasn't a 3+1 at the max. Like, remember, you can start, it could be between 30 and 35% of the cap. And if he didn't take it, I would have said, all right, we'll see you again next year. And then I would have traded for Rudy Gobert to make sure he didn't make all NBA. And then I could re-sign him for a good price.
Cynical operator, Nate Duncan.
Yeah, I mean, is there any chance it works for Minnesota?
Define
the point
works.
Where like, well, I mean, we've bandied this about since the trade happened. We were live on the air when it went through, and
if Edwards got better, because I mean, right, a part of the problem is like Edwards just hasn't really taken that leap that some people thought he might. Like if he played at an all-star level, they could make the second round of the playoffs, I think, still with this roster. No.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's ready to be at that point yet, though. I think maybe part of the miscalculation of the Gobert thing was to make this trade like Anthony Edwards was going to be a no-brainer all-NBA guy this year. And maybe he'll get there by the end of the year. He has shown improvement before. But I think more just the Gobert-Towns thing, that it just hasn't been favorable enough to those guys on either end. And also Gobert just might just not be as good now as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They bought into a declining commodity there for sure.
Yeah. So I mean, I think the odds of them, I mean, and really given what they gave up, I mean, they would have to make the second round of the playoffs, and I think even be competitive in the second round of the playoffs multiple times for me to even say it remotely began to pay off.
Yeah.
So I've got them at 26 at the very bottom of this kind of mid-tier group. Where did you have them?
I had them 21st. Wait, is that right? 22nd, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I gotta say that seems a little high to me. I guess I do trust them to get a few things right.
I miscounted a second time. I actually had them 23rd.
Very good. Okay. Are you sure? Are you sure you don't have them 24th?
I'm sure. Maybe 25th
although
they 26th? Might be by the end of the show. We'll see.
Yeah, that's right. Well, the Washington Wizards, how about them?
They are among the next teams, yes. I actually had them one spot behind Chicago. So let's talk about the Wizards. This is interesting because you might be able to change my mind here. Obviously, the Beal extension and no trade clause was a horrific decision, right? They have married themselves to the idea that they will not tank no matter what, even when tanking was so obviously the best strategy and they could have gotten so much for Beal 2 years ago. The one thing they have done is they got themselves out of jail on John Wall. Like that was the worst contract in the league and they got themselves completely out. So,
I mean, the Westbrook trade was really good. And then the trade to get Kuzma and KCP and Harrell plus a first, which they then completely squandered, of course. but they could have had Isaiah Jackson on this team, and instead it was Aaron Holiday, who didn't even make it through a full season with them, and Isaiah Todd, who's done nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, that was bad. I was going to bring up the draft. They've been in positions a lot where it is historically like tough to get genuinely good players, and they've ended up with a lot of vanilla players instead. We'll see with Johnny Davis, although early returns are not encouraging. But
when you had him that high on your board, John, how could they not take him? You had him graded as a first round prospect.
I think I technically did. I think I had him like 29th.
No, I it's seared in my brain that yeah, you were way too high on him. I'll say that to my dying breath.
They did a good job stealing Gafford from Chicago. So well, give him credit for that.
But then they gave him a $41 million extension over 3 years, and he's barely in the rotation right now.
Yeah, that's been a little... His role now is a little interesting with Porzingis there. Because he can't
play that many minutes. He can't get a defensive rebound. You know, he can crush some dunks and block shots, but he definitely seems like... I mean, I'm sure he's okay backup center, but yeah, I mean, they're paying him like a low-end starter that it doesn't... He just hasn't really developed the last like year and a half or so.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, here, can I try to frame this a little bit?
Sure.
So for vision, I would give them an F.
Yes.
For execution, and that's Ted Leonsis. He's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Now, maybe if Ted Leonsis were in a different market, it would be a little bit different for him. But, you know, it's not like the Wizards are... They're not actually a small market. That's no, the thing. Like, they just operate like they're in a small market.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, obviously, he is very loyal to the people who have been there for a long time. So, I mean, vision is just a straight up F. Like, this team might have the worst vision of any team in the league. And that informs everything that they do, whether it's taking win now guys in the draft, the Beal thing. But they also, I think the execution of that vision, you know, I'd give them like a C, maybe a C plus.
Right.
On that, yeah. Because, I mean, I guess the only thing you could say is that their trades have been good. That's about it. And they do have a very good trading record, I think, under Chuck.
Yeah, yeah. I give them credit for getting out of that wall situation.
And getting Porzingis, again, in pursuit of the vision. Like, Porzingis is a great make the eighth seed player, and they've managed to keep him healthy, and he's been really good so far.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that gets you kind of mid-20s to me, because I think the vision is so bad that there's almost no way that you can get out of that.
The execution is almost pointless, right? Because they're chasing the wrong idea. Yeah. Team I had ahead of the Wizards.
Okay.
Orlando Magic.
Yeah, what do they do well?
Well, I mean, they drafted Banchero and Wagner the last 2 years. Remember, Banchero, that was a ballsy pick, right? I know you had him number one on your board, but that was not a consensus pick.
No, that's true. And they're talking about Jabari. I mean, they did do this weird thing where they kind of sandbagged it on who they were taking and all that. I think they made the right call there. It's obviously still very early to say that for sure. But I feel confident that out of Chet or Jabari, that Paolo was the right pick there. And Wagner was good. Although I think at that point in the draft, I don't know that there was kind of a drop off after Wagner.
Taken Wagner at 5 and not Suggs, right? It should have been Wagner at 5 and Suggs at 8, right? But they ended up with out of it.
Yeah. Now, I mean, Suggs, he was filling a need. Like, I wasn't low on Suggs. Like, I thought he had, like, possible Kyle Lowry potential. And point guards do take a long time to develop. Maybe they'll be, you know, he could maybe be a starter still.
Yeah.
But maybe more, he's more of a combo guard, I think. His pick and roll game is not that great. But we've seen guys develop. I mean, Killian Hayes is having, like, a nice couple of weeks even.
Yeah. I was going to say a renaissance, but there was no... Renaissance implies there was something before to come back to, and there wasn't really any of that.
Yeah.
The Chicago trade, obviously, they just killed the Bulls on that Vooch deal. Getting Carter and Wagner out of that, and signing a good extension on Carter as well.
Yeah, that was excellent. And again, the commitment to actually do that. It's so weird. We talk about this every year, how it seems like just now with the Vooch trade was their first chance to implement the plan that they were hired to implement back in 2017, because they had this unexpected success and had been in the wilderness so long. But, you know, at least they didn't say trade 2 first round picks for Nikola Vucevic to compliment Nikola Vucevic on that team. They were just like, all right, we're gonna see where this goes, but we'll take it to its logical endpoint. It reached that endpoint and they moved on to try to build something more sustainable.
Yeah. So we just have to see how they play their cards for real here. They do have cap room next year. They're going to have another high pick. Like now it gets interesting for them.
Yeah. I mean, it's also, this organization has won 2 playoff games in 10 years and they're going to suck again this year.
Yeah. So we're in the 20s, but like we talk about executing the right strat, like they have the correct vision right now for what to do.
Yeah. I mean, I don't trust them a ton on the scouting front yet. I mean, Bol Bol was a nice guy to pick up as well. But so, I mean, I think they're kind of, I don't think they're great. I mean, it's length at all costs, obviously, the Waltman-Hammond approach, which is better than some other drafting philosophies. So,
yeah.
But, you know, I wouldn't consider them to be like unbelievable talent evaluators. The medical situation with this team seems like it's just a disaster. I mean, certainly the record is, you know, I'm not privy to the internals there, and I haven't followed as closely as, say, Chicago over the years. But, I mean, they've just been a disaster health-wise with like young players, too. Like, yeah. Not even like these old veterans.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And ownership is kind of...
I mean, like, at least they stay out of the way for the most part.
Do they? I mean, well, I guess there's...
Okay, I'll backtrack
like
that a little
Scott
bit.
The Scott Skiles era where like he had ownership's ear, and
yeah.
Alex Martins has had periods of influence.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. That's where I realized I need to pull back on that.
Yeah, but I mean, maybe they are doing a better job now, but it still is the same people who were involved there. Like, I don't think anyone is looking at that family as the, you know, gold standard of NBA ownership. I think they're just kind of... you know, it's easy for the, like Tillman Fertitta, it's easy for the owner to stay out of the way when you just suck and you're executing this rebuilding plan. But at least the owner didn't say like, hey, yeah, let's let, you know, we got to win more games around this Vucevic, Terrence Ross, DJ Augustine core. So, and Aaron Gordon.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think they're right in this range. I could be persuaded maybe to have them towards the top of this group, you know, above a Washington or Chicago, just because at least like their overall aims are sane.
Yeah.
And they did pay the tax back in the Howard era. I don't really care for their coach hire. I haven't seen a ton from Jamal Mosley that has made me feel good about things.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard when you don't have any guards. So I feel like it's tough to, I feel like I have a tough time grading him, but I guess, yeah.
At some point you get to the Silas where it's like, okay, what is your argument for being good?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and it is possible for coaches to show that they're good in these situations. Like I would say JB Bickerstaff has done that when he was coaching bad teams, Mark Daigneault. Like you can identify when a coach is good, even when the talent is terrible.
Yeah. I mean, Daigneault, certainly. I mean, watching his team win here last night, he just kind of gets the, you know, he figures out how to at least make it functional, even if the talent is not overwhelming.
All right, so we have my top 26 in the books now.
Yes.
What number of, is that your top 26 too?
Yeah, that's my top 26, yes.
So we have the same bottom four, and I have them all in a tier.
I actually had one half tier separate.
Man, who is the, like, slightly above worst tier team?
Detroit has to be above these other three.
What? Oh, I disagree on that.
Okay.
I would, why do they have to be above these other three? They haven't won a playoff game since 2008.
That's true. That does track with the whole ownership history. I guess I'm evaluating more on this current rebuild, but
they've won just as many playoff games as the Sacramento Kings since 2008.
Yeah, that's bad. I think they've, on the biggest decisions, I think they've mostly made the right calls. Like, to come away with, so even Hayes is starting to show a pulse too. Like, that was their one big miss. But Ivy, Duren, Cunningham, Bay, Stewart, like, those were the five big decisions, right? Like, Marvin Bagley is, like, that's just, like, a stupid waste of time, but it's not going to cost them anything. You know, Bogdanovich, like, oh, he's causing them to win too much? Like, not really. I don't know. I think they're going to be able to do something trade-wise there. So... I think if you focus on like the kind of what the biggest big picture is, I think they're still mostly doing that right. I think they thought they would be halfway decent this year, and I don't know why the hell they thought that. And it's going to be interesting to see now how they spend their money with that cap room they have coming in 23. And I think there's starting to be expectations creep in now. Like, okay, we've been bad long enough. We have to at least be average now. So that's going to get really interesting.
Yeah, you mentioned you don't know why they thought they would be good this year and take a step forward. The reason is they don't know what actually wins basketball. That would be my feeling on it. And that's we'll talk about the ownership stuff in a second, which is not and the higher level stuff, which is not particularly flattering and hasn't been for quite some time. But, you know, I agree with you. I mean, I think Detroit has shown maybe, although the jury is still out even on some of these picks, but they've got guys who look like they can play, those five guys that you mentioned outside of Hayes. But I mean, obviously Hayes over Halliburton is a disaster.
That was bad.
I mean, to take at least these other teams didn't take point guards. I still worry about the vision aspect as well, but just the way they're using Cade, I think that hasn't been good, and Cade really struggled. I think the fact that he had this shin injury shed some light on things, but you just look at what this rotation was going into the year that, and yeah, you know, they got Alec Burks back and they've been more respectable now, but you know, hopefully your whole season wasn't riding on Alec Burks. And it seems like they got less in that trade with New York because they felt like some of these guys could contribute, and just why they were even trying to get better this year, the Bagley thing. And there are just so many weird moves, signing Plumlee. Now, okay, they signed Jeremy Grant. They got him for a couple of years, but ultimately, what was the point of that? All right, you got a 2025 top four protected Milwaukee first, but I think they also maybe took less in that Grant deal so that they could just get that salary off the books so that they could then make the trade to take on Burks. And they had still plenty of cap room, I think, to do that anyway, if they had taken back salary in a Grant deal. So I thought they didn't do well in that Grant deal. There just are not a lot of hits here. And then you throw in the ownership thing. I mean, that's, do I need to comment on that, or do you want to take over here? Because that hasn't been too good either.
No, and then there's the whole thing with Arne Tellem being there and where he's, you know, putting his finger in the pie. I mean, the Blake Griffin trade obviously was a disaster.
This is the same owner that hired Stan Van Gundy to be coach and GM.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a sliding doors moment in NBA history, because Stan was the first choice, it seemed like, of the Warriors. And if the Pistons don't offer him full control, Steve Kerr maybe never gets hired there. Maybe the Warriors never become the Warriors. It's quite the moment. But obviously that didn't work.
They cost us a championship in 2015, the bastards. Yeah, that is a sliding doors moment. Damn it.
And yeah, the Blake Griffin trade, it was just throwing good money after bad there. And then also the way they handled Blake Griffin's knees wasn't too good either. Like, they basically they shouldn't have been letting him play, like, to play on that knee that needed surgery. And then he just was never the same again. But hey, at least they
we got the 8th seed.
To have the worst performance ever by an 8th seed. I mean, I still think of like Blake Griffin putting up like 45 points at Oklahoma City, just an unbelievable performance, and basically just like, you know, playing on one leg and just was never heard from again. Like, that just sucks.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And the organization certainly has some culpability for that. How's Dervinus Servetus playing this year, by the way? What's he up to? you think Mike Tellem is still his agent? Or
you could really understand why they traded up to nab him.
At 37, that's a real pick.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Just to buy him out from Arne Tellem's team in Israel and get a double commission for everybody. What a joke that whole situation was.
As a Jewish person, I really support them propping up the Israeli economy like that. Like, it's economic stability is key to Israel. So I put them in I actually have them 29th.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Okay, who's your number 27? Let's fight.
Well, at the risk of being slightly influenced by results today, I tried to not do that because last year I think that led me to rank a few teams too high, which we'll talk about in a second.
Mm-hmm.
But the Sacramento Kings, number 27 organization of the NBA.
Ooh, okay, okay.
I think they had a very good free agency this year. They have a vision. I think Mike Brown is a good coach hire. Again, a team that's a little lacking on the vision front.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but at least like Vlade isn't there. Like they have at least a real group of people that I have some respect for at this point. Now, the Sabonis trade was terrible. I think that's going to go, like, at least it's working. Like this is like another one of these ones where they did okay executing the terrible vision.
Yeah.
The marketing department, that's part of the organization, right? This beam thing is pretty awesome.
Yeah. I mean, that's a highlight for sure. For sure.
I mean, that's got to get you over the Pistons right there.
Vivek is a worse owner than Gores, though, right?
Yeah, probably. I mean, certainly the track record overall would be worse. I mean, I do think Vivek has, like, gradually gotten better over the years. But, no, I mean, he's definitely... This is getting down to just what some of the worst owners. But, I mean, I would say... Okay, let me ask you this. Of the teams remaining, Monty McNair, best GM, right?
Yes.
They hired the best coach out of those, I would say, right?
You would probably take Mike Brown over Steve Clifford. It would be because actually,
yeah, I think I would.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, actually,
we'll see what Darvin Ham becomes. So like, yeah. I don't think he's done a bad job. I mean,
no, that's fair. He may come up there, but, and like, they're the best team right now out of these teams as well. They probably, I would guess that they might have the best record over like the next 2 or 3 years out of these teams. Also, like this is, so I mean, again, damning with faint praise. I'm aware they haven't made the playoffs since 2006. It could all just completely go downhill very quickly. If they miss the playoffs this year, then there's really nothing to separate them. But I don't know. I can't really justify it much more beyond this.
But I put them 29th just because of my confidence that Vivek will fuck this up somehow.
Yeah. And I mean, he already kind of has to. It's too bad that like De'Aaron Fox just was angry that they drafted Tyrese Haliburton and just sucked until they got rid of him. Because that actually could have been a really powerful pairing, I think. Tyrese Haliburton is an all-star and Domantas Sabonis is not. Okay, we got two left here.
So I had the Lakers 28th. I had them ahead of Sacramento.
Okay. Yeah, I have the Lakers 28 as well. I had Sac 27, Lakers 28, Detroit 29.
Okay. Lakers, regardless if there are other weaknesses, scouting has been a consistent strength for like a decade of finding random guys off the scrap heap and in the second round. And so I have to give them some credit for that, even if everything else has been weird and dysfunctional and ridiculous.
Yeah, and they also at least seem to find a way to have a good enough relationship with stars that people want to come there. Now, do they select the right stars to come there? Maybe not. Now, and of course, they're in LA. They have the history. So we try not to give them that too much. Yeah. I mean, that's
part of that ones, relationship letting the stars agency run the front office, though, which I don't really think is helpful, right?
Well, and also, I mean, what we said here too is who would you want running a random team? And you put these clowns anywhere else, and it would just be a complete, well, actually, maybe you could say it wouldn't be, because then they would just draft and develop. And like, you know, if they had Lonzo and D'Angelo Russell and Brandon Ingram just like still on this team and like found some other Kuzma, like that actually would be a respectable team. Probably right now it'd be like a 500 team, but so not that show. But maybe if they were somewhere else, they wouldn't.
No, if they were somewhere else, chasing. They would actually keep their draft picks and not trade Ivica Zubac for Mike Muscala.
Yeah, maybe that's true. Maybe it's not, though. I mean, we've seen if the Bulls or the Wizards can make these win now moves, like maybe these guys would do it too somewhere else. And if they were somewhere else also, they would have just sold the team by now, surely. You would think like there wouldn't be enough profits to support like six family members. But yeah, I mean, obviously we know all the dumb shit that they've done. They overpaid in the Anthony Davis trade by a ton, even though they did get him, and they've overpaid in every trade. They don't know what wins games. I mean, to just win the championship, ownership, and then be like, okay, let's give up Danny Green in a first for Dennis Schroeder.
Yep.
He's going to go, oh, he's sixth man of the year. All right, yeah, he'll come in and start for us. And then, let's offer Dennis Schroeder an extension at $84 million. Oh, no, he thinks he's so good, he doesn't take it. Thank God we dodged that bullet. Now let's not re-sign him, and let's give up another first plus three more effective role players to get Russell Westbrook in here instead, who's basically the Uber shooter.
That trade's like the Gobert trade, I think, is going to end up being more disastrous, but that one's right down there.
Yeah, we're going to do an episode at some point, I think, in the next month or so on like the worst trades of the maybe since the 2017 CBA started. And that'll probably feature pretty prominently. But I will give them credit. I think the Ham hire was pretty decent.
Yes.
And
honestly, the Vogel hire before that.
Yeah, no, that's true too. Now, if they had been willing to pay up for Monty Williams or Ty Lue, that probably would have been even better. I mean, those are two of the top five coaches in the NBA that they just were too cheap to hire.
Yep.
And then I would say they've handled things right since acquiring Westbrook. And Lonnie Walker, we were kind of shitting on them for that signing. He's been pretty good. So Troy Brown Jr. is playing for him. That's like an okay sign. They're doing at least a little bit better on the minimums than they did last year. So I think they've actually handled like not trading Westbrook right at the start, like seeing whether...
I'm interested to see how they play this out, because I do think they've played their hand well on that so far in terms of not overreacting and making the panic move. But I think it's just going to get harder and harder to keep not making that panic move.
Speaking of panic moves, I guess we both have the number 30 team in the NBA organization is the Charlotte Hornets.
Book Knight, Jones and Thor in one draft.
I mean, Thor was number 37. I think he actually, like, he's not a disaster, but Book Knight and Jones, and trading up for Jones. Oh my God.
Trading the future first. Yeah. To take him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they just checked every box. Cheap as fuck. I thought they might be slightly on the rise after last year, but then they fire the coach. Then they don't somehow get either of their initial top two choices. One guy peeks
under the hood. One guy took one look under the hood and was peace out, right?
So then they rehire Steve Clifford. The Miles Bridges thing is like kind of not their fault, but I mean, it's hard to say that that's been handled correctly. We'll see what happens there.
$90 million for Hayward?
No, I think you mean $120 million for Hayward. And actually it's really more like $150 million, because they stretched Batum for 3 years at $10 million a year to do it. Do you remember when people in Charlotte were like taking a victory lap because they're like slightly over 500 in the first season of that? It's like, you know, it's a four-year deal, right? So that hasn't been good. You know, Mitch Kupchak, it's just, I don't think any other teams, this is always a good marker. Actually, my buddy Matt at Bulls Blogger kind of turned me onto this thinking of, when you hire and continue to employ an executive that literally no other team would be remotely interested in, that's a little bit of a red flag.
That's a good way of putting it. One of the least active teams in the Kupchak era, just in terms of, you know, actually like trying to do anything in terms of deals, and like very low volume traders. Couple nice second round picks, Nick Richards, Jaden McDaniels.
Yeah, the rehabilitation of Dennis Smith has been a nice story until, of course, he inevitably got injured. But maybe the spouse of the person that you paid $150 million to trashing the organization's injury reporting on Instagram? Is that something that might kind of consign you towards the bottom of the league as an organization?
They don't want to spend money either.
They've been pretty bad and free. The Rozier signing worked out, but now, of course, they probably signed into too big of an extension they took their... I mean, this is an organization that loves to like take a premature victory lap at the slightest sign of something other than abject pathos. And they did that with Rozier, not trading Kemba Walker. That, I mean, I think among, if we're ranking teams on vision, which I think like vision to me is maybe the most important thing. I mean, they're right down there. They're these like just make the playoffs.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Can we just get the 8 seed? Yeah. Yeah. They're right in there with the Wizards and Kings and Bulls of just like, yeah, there's no bigger picture.
Okay. Yeah. They're bad. I think they're a deserving 30. Yeah. I mean, unlike any of these other teams, like I think there's really nothing that you can, even like LaMelo was just like fell into their laps.
Who's gifted to them. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They probably would have taken James Wiseman
at 3, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, I think we're in an agreement here. It's really hard to find anything that this organization does well at this point. I mean, like the announcer is okay.
The logo. Good logo.
Yeah. Yeah. Good colors. That's color true. Scheme, that was a solid decision made by George Shin back in 1988. I think he was the original owner. Maybe he wasn't, but okay. Let's hit some categories.
Okay.
Who was the hardest to rank for you?
Probably the new front offices, Utah was hard. Minnesota was, they made it easier for us. They would have been really hard otherwise. Memphis, cause that's still new, was a little harder. So I would say those. Dallas was a hard one again, cause Nico Harrison hasn't been there that long.
Yeah. Brooklyn I struggled with too, because they had a good track record and then they just had a really bad 18 months. And, I think some of these teams that are on the rise, like Cleveland was one. I think Phoenix was really difficult for me as well, because there are some red flags there. And of course, there's the ownership thing, but they also, I mean, you can't argue with the success that they've had either. I think Golden State was kind of a difficult one for me too.
I agree with but
I tried not to overreact to what's happened in the last two or three months. And I think that's what that philosophy kind of allowed me to push them up a little bit. Denver was an interesting one too, just because their ownership situation is so sorry, but everything else about them is really good.
Well, and Tim Connelly just left too. That's what made it hard for them. Like we have a presumption about how Calvin Booth will operate, but we don't necessarily have that backed up by hard evidence yet.
Well, actually though, the hardest to rank for me was New Orleans, and I am going to ultimately move them up probably into the high teens. I had them in the 20s, but I think just especially as we've gone through the record of some of these other teams, and also like David Griffin has a pretty good track record, even if he's done some weird things. So at times, so yeah, I would definitely have to move them up. And I just was, they've done some things that are just like so head scratching, but it's probably just, I probably need to just count their successes more than I am, despite the fact that they're doing this stuff that makes me want to just like crack my head against the wall. Easiest to rank.
Charlotte.
Yeah, I guess we did just go through it and be bottom. Like, hey, they're good at literally nothing.
The bottom four came right off my pen, I gotta say, man.
Yeah, fair. Yeah, and I think the top ones too, it's pretty obvious who, I mean, maybe you could say OKC was an easy one for me too. I think actually just the teams with the greater track record, those are the ones that I really found it easier. The ones with less of a track record were harder. The most overrated organization to you? I'm going to say the Bucks.
I guess I actually don't think they're that. I would say Brooklyn just because I had them so high the year before.
Yeah.
I would say like in terms of public perception, I mean, maybe Chicago.
Does anyone think that they would do a good job at this point?
All right.
And last made the second round in 2015. It seems to lose most of these trades. I guess I would say Milwaukee just because they won a championship and it's just hard for people to wrap their minds around like this group didn't get Giannis and Chris Middleton and then to just discount for that. I mean, I got a lot of shit in Milwaukee for having them what ended up being 11th. Mm-hmm. But I would say outside of Milwaukee, you're right. I don't think they are really deemed to be this really good organization. They just have a top 25 player of all time in there. And a really good coach who they hired. I mean, like they've done some good things. It's just they've also had some really bad misses as well. Yeah. Most underrated.
I'm trying to think, look here, who we have. Maybe Indiana.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a pretty good. Like, I think they're pretty much just like rock solid most of the way. Now that the Larry Bird era is firmly, you know, 5-6 years in the rearview mirror, and I guess maybe Utah, could Utah be one
to have them in the top 10? Yeah, I mean, we need more information on them. That's why it's like it's a little hard with them.
All right, who are your biggest fallers from last year? We talked about Brooklyn already pretty extensively. Let's see, for me, I didn't have any other major fallers like out of the top 10, but I actually had Washington and Chicago as kind of mid-pack.
Yeah, they dropped. Yeah, they both. I was lower on Washington, but yeah. They both dropped for me. Minnesota, I'm trying to remember where I had them last year. I probably had them around the same spot just because of the owner. They
moved up from 27 to 26. Six for me this year.
Okay.
Detroit took a little bit of a tumble back down. but yeah, Chicago and Washington both. I mean, Washington actually had that pretty good start last year. They had made all these really good trades. Like the Russ trade was looking awesome for them. And the Bulls, you know, they were in contention for the top seed in the East at this time last year. And so that's why, again, I part of these mistakes, I tried to avoid overreacting to just what happened the first.
It's so hard to divorce yourself from like the first month, right?
Yeah.
Another team.
And the Lakers I had falling by. I actually had the Lakers like in the 20th last year.
Pelicans moved way up for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually had the Pels 30th last year.
Wow.
And when you consider the ownership not being willing to spend, we didn't know that like Herb Jones was going to be this guy.
Well, there was the whole Zion mess going on there too.
Yeah. Yeah. It seemed, I mean, we were wondering whether he had played his last game for the team.
Yeah.
He played his last game ever. that point. I mean, they had such a bad off season the year before that. So, I'll mea culpa on that one. I probably overreacted a little bit for a team that had made some good trades. Like to have them down there was definitely too much. Big risers for you.
Well, New Orleans, obviously.
Yeah, me too.
I'm not sure who else shifted. Oh, Cleveland?
Yeah, I had Cleveland actually in the lowest tier too. I think all the years we had done this, I had them at the bottom.
Yeah.
I mean, they've just made a lot of good moves. Like getting Donovan Mitchell looks pretty good. Like they're going to be a solid team for a while. Also Dan Gilbert's lack of involvement, I think, has become more clear.
Yeah, definitely.
So they were a big riser for me. I mean, Phoenix I had lower. They've moved up.
Yeah, for sure.
To me into the mid tier. Knicks are on like a steady rise from like the 20s. I actually had Charlotte 24th last year, so they fell pretty badly.
Wow.
I mean, another team that looked like they're going to actually like maybe make the playoffs last year, and you know, things were going well, and like they looked like they could be out of the bottom tier, but I probably overreacted to them. Let's see, who else is a riser? I think that's about... Oh, Boston. I had Boston at 11 last year. And remember, they started 19 and 21 last year.
There was a lot more uncertainty of what that would be with Brad in a front office position. I think now we have a better idea of what he's going to be as an executive.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And it was like his departure was like, okay, why, like, we're letting Danny Ainge go and we're going to hire this guy who has no executive experience because I guess he's under contract already. But obviously things really, really turned around for them. They've made more good trades since then. So yeah, that's why they were up in the top four. That was a big... Who do you see as possibly rising or falling? Last category here.
Let's see. I'm trying to look in my crystal ball. Atlanta definitely has some fall potential, I think, depending on how things shake out here.
Yeah. Any thoughts quickly on the latest Trae Young McMillan spat?
It's interesting because I don't think Trey is a guy who's like all warm and fuzzy and like he's not Steph Curry, like, you know, like everybody's not in love with him like that. At the same time, I just don't know if Nate's their guy going forward either. I think they're in a really tricky pickle with that whole thing. And how does this always end, though, right? It never ends with the player moving and the coach staying, right?
Yeah, they certainly have gone all in on Trey with this Murray move. This is another one where you're just kind of wondering about just what's going on overall in the organization. And I do think you have to make a move at coach just to see whether you can get this group at least into the high 40s, low 50s, and with a different offensive philosophy.
Yeah, I think Portland's going to move one way or another.
Interesting. Yeah. Brooklyn is another one too. I mean, we had them falling from like the top tier. I had them now like mid pack.
Yep.
And I mean, they could continue to fall, or they they could move back up again, depending on what happens. But it does seem like there's some kind of an inflection point is going to be reached there. Cleveland could continue their rise, although they've run out of things to do now because they just traded all their picks.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're kind of locked in with this now. So it would probably be pretty gentle from here.
Golden State could maybe be a faller.
Yeah, I mean, if Wiseman, Kuminga, Moody, you know, can they at least get a rotation player out of one of them?
I think Kuminga is getting close. He's actually been a lot better the last couple of weeks. Clippers could be a faller too.
Because some of these guys, these middle class contracts, they're getting into their 30s and they're starting to get kind of mediocre. And so you're starting to question that a little more. I'm really interested to see how this season plays out there.
Yeah, and then Ryan. I guess maybe the Wolves start playing a little better. It doesn't seem that way though. Like it would take a lot over the next year to happen for me to move them up significantly.
If Killian Hayes makes the All-Star team, what happens to Detroit?
They're too good to get Wembanyama.
They did miss out on Wembanyama.
All right, this is fun. Thanks for joining us here on our organization rankings. We'll of course be back next week, but always good to check in and do these and take stock of some of the changes around the NBA. We'll talk to you all again soon.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.